بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We started the first class on the three fundamental principles of Islam, and for those who may have missed the first class, they can find it on the site. And we continue now the second class tonight. The author rahimahullah said, "I'lam rahimakallah, know, may Allah's mercy be upon you." And when he starts by saying "I'lam," and it means "know," this is an etiquette of drawing attention, so that the listener can give heed and be attentive concerning the ilm, the knowledge that will come, and what knowledge is going to be presented to him. And therefore, the person who needs to address people may use this etiquette and utilize it so that he can or she can attract the attention of the one being addressed. And this had been done by the Prophet alayhi as-salatu was-salam. Every now and then he would, for example, address the companions by saying, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbar al-kaba'ir," shouldn't I tell you about the gravest of sins? So this is again drawing their attention. Another way is, "Atadruna madha qala rabbukum?" Do you know what your Lord said, has said? Again, sometimes he would tell the companions, "Atadruna mal ghiba?" Do you know what is al ghiba? What is backbiting? And this is intended to bring them to be attentive to what will come next in the explanation. And then the Shaykh rahimahullah said, after this, "I'lam," after "know," "rahimakallah," meaning may Allah's mercy be upon you. And it really means here, "ghafar Allahu laka," may Allah forgive you your previous sins. وَوَفَّقَّكَ وَعَصَمَكَ فِيمَا يُسْتَقْبَلْ and that he may guide you to do what is good and what is, and to protect you and correct you in the future, and to protect you from sins in the future. And if this is when rahma is mentioned alone, when mercy is mentioned alone, but when mercy, when maghfirah, forgiveness, is added to the mercy, then it means forgiveness is used along with it. Then al-maghfirah means forgiveness of the previous sins. Wal-rahma, then in this case the rahma would refer to granting what is good and protection from sins in the future. Lima yustaqbal bil-tawfiq ilal-khayr, giving success and safety from sins. This is if they are coupled. If someone says rahimakallah wa ghafara lak, may Allah's mercy be upon you and may Allah forgive you, then in this case the meaning will be as such as you have heard. Then he continued, rahimahullah, the author, to say in this introduction, "I'lam rahimakallah, know, may Allah's mercy be upon you, annahu yajibu alayna ta'allumu arba'i masail," that it is binding upon us, obligatory upon us, to have knowledge of four principles or four matters. And then he started by the first one, and he said, "Al-ula al-ilm." Al-ula al-ilm. And when he said it is obligatory, meaning obligatory on the individual, any legally responsible individual, then it is binding upon him. The first one is al-ilm, meaning acquiring al-ilm, knowledge. والعلم means معرفة الهدى بدليله. Knowing the guidance with evidence. Knowing the guidance with evidence. And what is intended here is العلم الشرعي. What is intended here is العلم الشرعي. The legal knowledge. The legal knowledge or the Islamic knowledge. And when he says it is a must, then he means all the knowledge that the legally responsible needs in the matters of his deen. Like for example, Usul al-Iman, the fundamentals of the faith and the laws of Islam, and what he should avoid, what he needs in transactions. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, يجب أن يطلب من العلم ما يقوم به دينه. He should seek and acquire the knowledge which he needs to establish his deen with. He was asked, Imam Ahmad, قيل له مثل أي شيء, مثل أي شيء, like what? He said, الذي لا يسعه جهله, that which he cannot be ignorant of, صلاته, his salah, his fasting, and the like. So it is incumbent upon the Muslim to learn what is required, what's obligatory upon him from the matters of deen related to his aqeedah, to his creed, his worship, and his transactions. And he should ask the people of knowledge and should be aware and avoid from turning away concerning that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from him to know. And he should also be careful to accept the advice and the direction and yield and submit to the truth. This is the sifatul mu'mini haqqa. This is the true quality of the believer. And it is obvious that there are many, many, many proofs indicating that such type of knowledge is required and such type of knowledge is mandatory. Like in the hadith of Anas, that the Prophet ﷺ said, طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is a binding matter on every Muslim. Now, العلم also means, we talked about what type of علم, but what really the term علم, knowledge really means, is to comprehend things on their realities with a true comprehension, comprehending the reality of a thing truly. And also, كما قال شيخنا رحمه الله, إدراكا جازما, as our Shaykh رحمه الله mentioned in the explanation of the three fundamentals, إدراكا جازما, meaning with certainty, with certainty. And the ranks and the levels of knowledge are six. The levels of knowledge, as our Shaykh rahimahullah explained them, are six. Number one, العلم وهو إدراك الشيء على ما هو عليه إدراكا جازما. We mentioned this, knowledge, which is the comprehend the reality of something with certainty. The second is الجهل البسيط وهو عدم الإدراك بالكلية. This is referring to the slight ignorance, and this is the lack of full comprehension. The lack of full comprehension. This is a second rank. The third rank is الجهل المركب وهو إدراك الشيء على وجه يخالف ما هو عليه. الجهل المركب, which is the compounded or aggravated ignorance. This is comprehending something in a way which is contrary to its reality. Contrary to its reality. The fourth is الوهم وهو إدراك الشيء ما احتمال ضد راجح. الوهم, الوهم means delusion. And this is to think that one comprehends something despite the presence of that which could cause you to realize that you are incorrect. This is the meaning of delusion. And the fifth rank is الشك, وهو إدراك الشيء مع احتمال مساو. Shak, doubt. That you may think that you are comprehending something, yet you are aware of something contrary to it, which you think has the same possibility of being true. This is الشك. And the sixth rank is الظن, وهو إدراك الشيء مع احتمال ضد مرجوح. This is الظن, the preponderance, like preponderant belief, which is comprehension of something despite the presence of something which is contrary to it, but which is less likely to be true. So there is preponderating, preponderance rather. Now, then the Shaykh rahimahullah classified knowledge into two categories. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah classified knowledge into two categories. The first one is daruriyun, daruri, which is inevitable, and which is known inevitably without any need to investigate or to prove with evidence. Like, for example, the Shaykh gave an example about the fire. An-nar harra. Fire is hot. This is inevitable knowledge. The second category is an-nadari. The second category is an-nadari. Al-ilm an-nadari, which is speculative. Speculative knowledge. And this requires nadar wa istidlal. كالعلم بوجوب النية في الوضوء. This requires investigation and proof. And the Shaykh rahimahullah gave the example of knowledge that it's obligatory to have intention when making ablution, when making wudu. This is speculative. Obligatory to have intention when making ablution. Then the author rahimahullah fassara al-ilm alladhi la budda min ta'allumihi. He explained, what is this knowledge that we need to know? What is this knowledge that is obligatory upon us to know? That it covers the three matters. He said al-ilmu, then he said wahwa, and then he defined what it means. He said wahwa ma'rifatullah. This is the explanation. Wahwa ma'rifatullah, knowing of Allah. Second, وَمَعْرِفَةُ نَبِيِّهِ, knowing His Prophet. وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and knowledge of the Deen of Islam. بِالْأَدِلَّةِ, based upon proofs and evidences. Based upon proofs and evidences. And these things, as our Shaykh rahimullah mentioned, is very comprehensive of the entire Deen. And why did the Shaykh rahimahullah, the author, why did he particularize these matters? Because these are the fundamentals of the Islam, without which Islam cannot be established. And it is the matters which the person will be asked about on the day, or in his grave rather. In his grave. Because if the person comes to know of his Lord and of his Prophet and the Deen of Islam with the proofs, then his Deen will be perfected. And this is the legal knowledge which we talked about earlier. This is the legal knowledge which we talked about earlier. Then he said, explaining them, and this is knowledge of Allah, first one. Knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the foundation of the Deen. This is the foundation of the Deen. And the person cannot really be on the true Islam except after knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowledge in the heart which necessitate accepting his commands and yielding to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands, and to apply his sharia which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. And how does the person really know of Allah? يَتَعَرَّفُ الْعَبْدُ عَلَى رَبِّهِ بِالنَّظَرِ فِي الْآيَاتِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ, by contemplating the legislative signs and the revelation in the book of Allah and in the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only that, but also to contemplate الآيات الكونية, the universal signs, meaning the creation. Because the person, when he ponders on these signs, his knowledge will increase concerning his creator and the one he worships, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the Noble Quran, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, chapter 51, verse 20 to 21, قال الله عز وجل وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون, and on the earth there are signs for those with certain faith, and also in your own selves, will you not then consider. The second one which the author rahimahullah mentioned is ma'rifatu rasulihi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning this is an obligation on every responsible, on every legally responsible person, and this is one of the fundamental matters of deen, because he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one conveying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this requires accepting what he brought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from guidance and from the true religion, believing in that which he conveyed and complying with his commands, and to abstain from the prohibitions which he made clear, and accepting and applying his sharia. قال الله عز وجل, in this respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated as in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 65, قال الله عز وجل فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. But no, by your Lord they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a judge in all matters of dispute or disputes between them, and they find no resistance in themselves against your decisions, and accept them with full submission. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24 verse 51, قال الله عز وجل إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون. The only saying of the true believers when they are called to the judgment of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in matters of dispute is that they say, we hear and we obey. We hear and we obey. They are the successful who will dwell forever in paradise. And also a clear warning for those who oppose the command of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in Surah An-Nur chapter 24 verse 63, قال الله عز وجل فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. Let those who oppose the command of the Messenger in any of their affairs, and beware of a trial, and the trial can be falling in shirk and disbelief or hypocrisy, should fall or befall them, or a severe punishment. In fact, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah mentioned concerning this verse, قال Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, أتدري ما الفتنة, Do you know what is the fitna in this verse? The meaning of it? الفتنة الشرك لعله إذا رد بعض قوله أن يقع في قلبه شيء من الزيغ فيهلك. He said when he was asked, do you know what the trial is? The trial is, he responded, is shirk, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. Since if he rejects anything from his sayings, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sayings, then some form of heresy may be cast into his heart and cause him to be destroyed. Then the third matter which he mentioned, rahimahullah, concerning the obligatory knowledge is ma'rifatu deen al-Islam bil adilla, knowing the religion of Islam. And here it should be noted that Islam has two meanings. A broader and general meaning, which is called ma'na 'am, a general meaning, and a particular one. So Islam has two meanings to it: a broad and general one, and then a particular or a special meaning. And Islam in the general meaning means التعبد لله, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which He legislated from the time He had sent the messengers until the hour is to be established. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in many places in the Noble Quran, indicating that the previous revelations were all on Islam. In this respect, we read the following evidence. When Ibrahim alayhi salam said, قال الله تعالى عن إبراهيم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related the saying of Ibrahim, ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك, as in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 128. O our Lord, make us Muslims, submitting, obeying and worshipping you alone, and from our progeny those who are Muslims, submitting to you in Islam. Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ibn Taymiyyah mentioned that Islam in the general sense means ibadatullah wahdahu la sharika lah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that this is the deen of the prophets. This is the deen of the prophets. Qala Allah azza wa jal about the Torah and the prophets of the children of Israel, yahkumu biha an-nabiyyun alladhina aslamu, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 44. Verily we did send down the Torah. To Musa. Therein was guidance and light by which the prophets who submitted themselves to Allah's will, in Islam meaning judge the Jews. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the prophets of the children of Israel, described them with Islam, indicating that Islam is not only particular to this ummah, rather it is general. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about Musa alayhi salam that he said to his people in Surah Yunus in 10:84, إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا. O my people, if you have believed in Allah, then put your trust in Him if you are Muslims. And concerning the children of Yaqub, of Job alayhi salam, as in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 133, قال الله عز وجل قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إله واحدة ونحن له مسلمون. Or were you witness when death approached Yaqub, when he said unto his sons, what will you worship after me? They said, We will worship you. Your ilah wa ilaha abaik, and the ilah of your fathers Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq, one ilah, wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and to him we submit in Islam. This is the the meaning of Islam in the general or the broader sense, and Islam in the particular sense means the deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entrusted the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with, and concluded with it all the previous religions, and it's the final and last one which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept from anyone else, from anyone except this deen. قال الله تعالى in this respect in Surah Al Imran in chapter 3 verse 85, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And whoever seeks to follow a religion other than Islam, then Allah will not accept it from him, and in the hereafter he will be one of the losers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the perfection of this deen in its final form, in this particular form, in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5 verse 3, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. This day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. But as for him who is forced by severe hunger with no inclination to sin, then surely Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. So this ayah here clearly indicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this deen for this ummah, and therefore in this sense it is considered to be particular. Then the author rahimahullah said, knowing of Allah, knowing of his messenger, knowing of his deen, with the evidences. And what is the meaning of the evidence? What is the meaning of the evidence? The evidence هو ما يرشد إلى المطلوب. ما يرشد إلى المطلوب. It means that which leads to that which is sought. And the evidences, knowing these matters which we have discussed, are سمعية وعقلية, of two types. First one is سمعية, which is called textual, and the other is عقلية, which means intellectual proofs. And what about السمعية? السمعية, the textual proofs, refers to all that which is affirmed by way of revelation, and this is the kitab and the sunnah, the authentic sunnah. والعقلية, العقلية, the intellectual, is that which is established through observation and consideration. That which is established through observation and consideration. And this is very pleat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Frequently Allah mentions this type of proof, the intellectual proof, in his book. Many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells that from his signs are such and such. And in this way the intellectual proofs by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are quoted. As to the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam by the textual way, is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about his Prophet, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. And this is in Surah Al-Fath 48-29. قال عز وجل محمد رسول الله. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is a textual proof about the knowledge of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Also in Surah Al-Imran in chapter 3 verse 144, قال الله عز وجل: وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل. وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل. أن محمد is but a messenger, but a messenger, no more than a messenger. And indeed many messengers have passed away before him. This is concerning the textual proofs. And concerning the intellectual proofs by way of thinking and by way of consideration as to the signs which he brought, and the greatest of which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comprises al-mushtamil ala al-akhbar al-sadiqa, which comprises a true and beneficial narrations of events of the past and just rulings which ensure that the well-being for the slaves, and also in addition to the miracles which occurred at his hands, and also which he had informed and foretold in accordance with the knowledge which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, and these matters which he foretold alayhi salatu wasalam occurred just as he had said. All of these are proofs, these are intellectual proofs concerning the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So now we have discussed the meaning of knowledge, and that it pertains to the knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of His Prophet, and the knowledge of the Deen of Islam with the evidences. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue the four matters which the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, but suffice for today that we have covered the first matter, and this is the knowledge. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.